Welcome, everybody. This is Rochelle, the Right Now Coach, and this is the Right Now Mastermind class. Our guest today is Kelly L. Stone. She's the author of Living Right, The Secret to Inviting Your Craft into Your Daily Life, and several other books. Kelly Stone's work has appeared in Family Circle, Writer's Digest, Cat Fancy, The Toastmaster, and Chicken Soup for the Soul and Cup of Comfort anthologies. She has also published 4 books, including a literary women's fiction novel and the Time to Write series for aspiring authors, including the one I just mentioned to you, Living Right, which was released last fall. And she's going to be here to talk to us about that whole idea of living right, integrating writing into our daily lives. And so if you need to mute yourself during the call, you can mute yourself with *6. At the end, we'll have some time for questions. And at the end, I'll also be raffling off her newest book. So stick on the call so you can get a chance to win that. So Kelly, why don't we just launch in by having you give us an introduction of yourself and tell us a little bit about how you got into writing.
Well, thanks. I'm really happy to be here today, and I'm hearing everybody pinging in, so this is exciting. I like everybody that's dialing in and that is on the call, I have what is called the burning desire to write, and that is that urge to write that everybody has, where you can't not write. It's something that you have to do, and everybody that reads my books and everybody that's calling in today has that. So it's just that urge to write. And I've, like most people, have been writing since I was about 6 years old, but I never really thought that I could make a living at writing. And so I kind of went on the back burner as I went to college and kind of got out into life and daily life takes over. You know, everybody knows how that is. And so I started, but this burning desire to write just never left me. But I just never found the time to do it. I never felt like I could squeeze writing into my busy day. And I started reading some books on the psychology of achievement, and what I learned is that a lot of people in all kinds of creative endeavors have that problem. And so what you have to do is just, you have to force the time. You have to carve it out. So what I started doing was getting up about 3:30 in the morning and writing for a couple of hours before I started my day and went to work. And that's how I started getting my material published and got my books written. All of my books have been written before the sun comes up. And after I started getting some things published, people asked me, where do you find the time? And that was the impetus for the first book in the Time to Write series, which is Time to Write. So, because I wanted because so many people asked me that, I want to write, I hear that at book signings all the time, I want to write, but I just don't have time, I have children, I have a job, I have elderly parents, et cetera, and so forth. And so it's a struggle for everybody, and even published authors, once you get published, then promotional activities often consume a lot of time. And so the dilemma of finding time to write is always there, no matter where you are in your career path. So that's how I kind of got my start.
Yeah, and then you say a little bit about why you decided to write a book on a writing craft, but can you say a little bit more about what led you to do the series on writing?
Yeah, after Time to Write, I started thinking about how to maximize limited writing time because, most people have to squeeze in their writing 1 or 2 hours a day if you're lucky. Nobody typically has a mountain cabin that they can go to for 6 months and write their book like, Diane left the Cheers season at the end of season 5 to go write her book and come back and marry Sam. And I always get a big kick out of that because that sort of epitomizes the myth that surrounds writers, that you have to just have this huge block of time where nothing is disturbing you. And that's just not the way it works for most people. So I wanted to figure out how could I help people maximize limited amounts of writing time. And so I'm also a licensed counselor, and one of the things that I've been doing for many years is helping people utilize the power of their subconscious minds to make all kinds of improvements in their lives. And so Thinking Right, which is the second book in the series, and then Living Right are on that topic, about how to access your subconscious creativity in order to capitalize on those small amounts of writing time that you do have so that you get the most bang for your buck, essentially.
So say a little more about that. What is this link between creativity and a subconscious mind, and how do we kind of, like, maximize that link?
Well, the subconscious mind is like a computer. This is the Reader's Digest version. I talk a lot about this in Thinking Right, but it's like a computer, and it has recorded everything that has ever happened to you from the minute you were born until now. And no detail has escaped it. And it's also the source of your muse. People talk about when they're doing something, ideas will pop into their head, or they'll often spontaneously wake up in the morning with an idea for a book, or I've had writers tell me that they dreamed entire plot scenes. And that is your subconscious mind funneling information to the conscious mind, and dreams are the most common way that that happens for everybody. And so learning to access that source, this endless supply of information and details and experiences that you have had in life, is what inspires your creativity and helps you get those rich details that make you a better writer, give you ideas. The link between the subconscious mind and creativity is also associated with brain waves. Like, everybody right now is in a brain wave where we're focused outward, and we're focused right here in the here and now. And if you saw a brain machine, everybody's brain waves would be real rapid and spiking. During sleep, especially right as you're falling asleep and as you're waking up, the brain waves smooth out into what's known as alpha waves. And this is where the spikes become very fluid and flowing, and it allows the subconscious mind to become closer to the surface of the conscious mind. And this is why in my books, a lot of the techniques that I give are very easy to use, because you use them before you go to sleep or when you wake up to have easier access to just that endless supply of creativity. One of the techniques that I talk about is called the hypnagogia technique. And this is, hypnagogia is the phenomenon, everybody's experienced it, where right before you fall asleep, you might see flashes of light, or you might hear your name called, or ideas that in the waking state are totally unrelated. Somehow you see a relationship between those two things, and that's called hypnagogia. And this is where a lot of that fertile material lies. And so one way you can actually capitalize on that state is to, everybody laughs, and it's okay if you want to laugh when I tell you about this technique, because it does sound funny, but it really does work. If you lie down, like on a Saturday, not when you're real tired at night, but say Saturday when you've got a few minutes, you could lie down for about a 20-minute nap. Lie down and just hold one arm up and try to go to sleep. And, of course, you won't be able to go to sleep because the tension required to hold your arm up is going to keep you awake. But what you can do is you can induce an alpha state in your mind and just kind of see what comes up. You can even pose a question to your subconscious mind while you're doing that, like lie down, and I've done this before, and say, subconscious mind, what is the next chapter in my novel, for instance? And then lie down, hold your arm up, try to doze, and just see what happens. And a lot of people have written me after they've read about that in my books and told me that that actually has solved a lot of creativity problems for them. And you can use that for all sorts of problems and questions. You can ask, subconscious mind, is this agent a good match for me, and things like that. And the thing about the subconscious mind is that it has resources that, because it is so vast and because it has stored all of your experiences, it's like a guide. It can be a source of wisdom and help for you.
Wow, that's just really interesting. I'm like kind of wishing we didn't have this whole hour phone call. I want to go lay on the couch and put my arm up, see what happens. So do you have any other techniques we can use to access that subconscious?
Yeah, there's actually two things if you really want to talk about using the subconscious mind for creativity. One is accessing it, and the other is programming it. So in addition to like the hypnagogia, another way that you can access your subconscious mind is through dreams. And I come back to that because that's usually the easiest thing for people to start with, because everybody dreams and everybody's familiar with that. And so you can start writing down your dreams. A lot of people will tell me, well, I don't remember my dreams. Well, it's just a matter of getting them into the conscious mind. So start writing down your dreams, even if it's just a snippet, or even if it's just a symbol or something that you remember the next morning. Write it down just as, you know, as soon as you wake up, before you forget it. And over time, what will happen is you'll start building that bridge, and you will start remembering more of your dreams. And then what you can do is pose a question to your subconscious mind, similar to what I just gave, like, subconscious mind, what is the next chapter in my novel? Or subconscious mind, should I spend the money to go to this writing conference, etc.? Whatever you need an answer to, pose that to your subconscious mind before you go to sleep and ask for what I call a dream solution. And the subconscious mind will provide you with an answer either the next morning or sometimes over the course of the next few days. An important piece of that is to have an attitude of expectancy. So you want to believe that your subconscious mind will provide you with an answer, mm-hmm. and then just expect it. And that's something that a lot of writers that I have talked to, I've interviewed more than 150 authors in the course of writing my three books, and that's one of the things that I found about them was that they trusted their own intuition. And so you want to really trust that this will happen. Another way then, so that's accessing the subconscious mind, programming the subconscious mind to help you. One of the things that I talk about in Living Right is what I call positive declarations and imagery. And some people call these affirmations, or it's a variation of that, but you want to, you want to have an image of yourself as a successful writer, whatever that means to you, or if you're struggling to finish a novel, visualize that novel in completed form. You know, visualize it with the cover on it. You can draw your covers and hang them on the wall. You can, you can write the end at the end of the last page in your work in progress and visualize yourself getting there. One of the things that I have done, all this is programming your subconscious mind to actually bring these results about. So an example is that the way I have used this is I will often bring my laptop to work, and then on my lunch hour I will go to the library and write. And I went through a period of time where I was right before lunch something would come up and I would have to stay and I would miss my lunch break. So what I started doing was visualizing myself every morning before I got out of bed. I would visualize myself leaving my office at 12 with my laptop, going to the library, writing for 45 minutes, and then coming back to work. And I did that every morning for about a week, and what happened was then that actually came about after I visualized it for about a week. I was able to start doing that. You can do that for any writer's block problem you're having. If you're sitting down and the words just aren't flowing, before you get up that morning, or even as you're just sitting there at your desk, just close your eyes and visualize yourself typing away. See the words coming up on the screen. So any kind of imagery like that, the subconscious mind thinks in pictures a lot of times. So any time you can feed it a positive image of the result that you want, that's a way to program it. And the more you do that, the stronger this link between your conscious and your subconscious mind will get.
And how do you recommend doing that feeding of the link? Is that meditation, or is that just something you do in bed before you get up in the morning, or as you're falling asleep at night?
Yeah, you can do all of those. You can do there's on both CDs, on Thinking Right and Living Right, there's a relaxation exercise. You can, with body relaxation, you can get into this alpha state, and you can do this visualization, this imagery. You can do it before you get out of bed. You can do it while you're driving to work. You know, driving to work, a lot of people slip into an alpha state. Mm-hmm. Everybody's had the experience of you drive somewhere and you get there and you have no memory of the actual drive, and that's because the mind slips into the alpha state. And so that's a good time, actually, if you want to have a digital recorder and record some, positive declarations. And this would be, I feel great because I finished my novel. I feel great because Agent X has accepted me as a client. I feel great because I'm a successful writer, whatever that means to you. And record these statements into your recorder and then play that while you drive. Play it while you fall asleep. All of that is part of programming the subconscious mind. And it really does work. You do have to, you know, repeat it. Doing it every day if you can, or several times a week is good. And especially if you're not in practice of doing this, it might take a bit to get some results, but it will eventually. The subconscious mind is eager to communicate with the conscious mind. Some people get, you know, hunches or things like that, and all of that is the subconscious mind trying to communicate with the conscious mind. So it's just a matter of recognizing your own signals and then learning, you know, what works for you. Not every technique is going to work best for everybody. So it's just a matter of learning all the different techniques and then choosing the ones that have the best results for you.
Wow. So one of the things we talked about earlier in the call, and you just mentioned it with your needing, you know, taking time to write during your lunch hour, getting up early to write before work. What advice can you give people who want to write but are just frustrated because they don't feel like they have the time?
Yeah. Well, and again, you just have to make the time. And one of the things that I suggest people do is I call it the 24-hour time budget, and I talk about this in Time to Write. Is for like maybe a typical day and a typical weekend day. Just for one time, record how you spend every minute of your day, and it's sort of like writing down every penny you spend to see where your money goes. So you write down how you spend every minute of your day to see where your time is going. And most people will find that they can shoehorn in some writing time, even if it's just 15 minutes while you're waiting in line to pick up the kids at school, while you're sitting at a doctor's office, after the kids go to bed at night, or after the family's in bed, or getting up early in the morning before everybody else does. Is always a good suggestion. I mean, there's not too many people in the world that get up at 3:30 in the morning, you know, if you don't have to. And so one of the tricks for getting up real early is start slow. So say you're used to getting up at, say, 6, and you want to start getting up at, say, 4:30 so you can write for an hour before the family gets up. Move your alarm clock back in like 5, 10, or 15-minute increments for about 2 weeks, and every day just move it back a little bit further so that you're not trying to blast yourself out of bed an hour and a half early that first day, which, of course, you know, increases the chances you're just going to hit that snooze button. So do it slowly, and, of course, while you're getting up to the full hour or hour and a half, you're not going to get in as much writing time, but you'll slowly be training your body to get up earlier. But the biggest thing is to pick a schedule and work it for a while. Yeah. Write your writing time down on your appointment book just like you do any other appointment. Schedule your day around your writing rather than trying to squeeze writing into an existing day. That's what successful authors do. You know, like, for instance, Tara Taylor Quinn is a New York Times bestselling author, and she's somebody I've talked to a couple of times. And before she was a published author, she said every week on Sunday night she sat down and she scheduled in her writing time for the upcoming week. And it might just be an hour here and there, but she said nothing could budge me from that except for a true emergency. You know, if someone's hurt or, but, you know, true emergencies are rare. You know, usually things can wait. If it's a child care issue, you know, either hire a babysitter or just, you know, learn to write with the kids in the room. A lot of authors told me they learn to write with kids banging little fire trucks against their ankles and things like that, you know, so learning to kind of tune those things out. But in Time to Write, there are 7 professional writing schedules that I came up with after talking with 130 authors, and there's something in there for everybody to try. Another thing you can try is get an egg timer and set it for 10 minutes and then sit down and just write for those 10 minutes and don't stop writing until the bell rings. And then you'd be surprised at how, over time, how much 10 minutes worth of writing can add up. I mean, so you just have to make a commitment to find the time to write, because if you look for it, it will be there. Everybody does have the time to write. It's just a matter of perspective and rearranging things and making a commitment to writing. You know, that's the biggest thing. If you want to find that time, you will find that time.
Yeah. Yeah, we seem to find the time for Law and Order, so you think we could find the time to write.
That's right, and that's a good point. I mean, you know, TV takes up a lot of time. Internet, you know, social networking, all of that. I mean, and all of that, there's a place for all of it. But what happens, I had a woman in one of my online Time to Write classes one time. She did the 24-hour time budget thing that I was telling you about. And she told me she worked a full-time day job. And after that, she found out she was coming home and spending 4 hours every night on the Internet and, like, Facebook and all those other things. And it didn't dawn on her until she actually wrote it down how much time she was spending just kind of surfing the Internet and all these other things when she could have been writing. So put an egg timer by your computer and give yourself 30 minutes or an hour, how much ever you need, to check your email and do the social networking and surf the Internet, whatever you want to do. Do that, too, for research, because a lot of times writers will, I'm researching. You know, I'm researching this topic on the Internet, and then it's kind of a black hole, and when you look up, 8 hours has passed, or, well, you know, your whole writing hour block has passed. Another really good schedule that I have personally found to be very useful is what I call blitz writing. And there were a lot of authors I talked to. I'd never heard of it before I did Time to Write, before I wrote Time to Write. But what you do is if you can't write a lot during the week, then try on the weekend, at least one day, try to get in at least a 4-hour block of time to write. And, of course, that takes some scheduling with spouses and if you have children and things like that, and you've got to make sure you've got your food and your coffee and your paper and everything else you need to write. But blocking out a huge chunk of time like that and then getting as many pages written as you can, I actually did that after I talked to several authors who used that schedule when I was writing Time to Write, and I took actually my entire Thanksgiving break, 4 days, and I wrote for about 10 hours all 4 days, and my backside was completely numb by the time I got done, but I had about 2/3 of a draft of Time to Write by the time, that just in 4 days. And of course, that was draft, but still, that is another really good schedule. And it sounds intimidating because people think I can't sit there and write that long. But you have to push yourself, and you have to push those limits. And one way you can use the subconscious mind to counterbalance, like if you think, "Oh, I can't write for 4 hours," just start telling yourself, "I can write for 4 hours." You know, just turn it around, because, and then that will program your subconscious mind to help you make it happen.
Well,
and, you know, the other thing about everybody's heard the saying, you have to let the muse know where you're going to be. So one of the greatest benefits of a writing schedule and doing it at the same time every day if you can, or at least knowing in advance, okay, this is my writing time, so I can't take phone calls, I can't go to the movies, I'm not going to sit down and make a batch of brownies or whatever, I'm going to sit down and write, is that you start training your subconscious mind to click in. And that and your creativity becomes more available to you when you set it up in advance. And that right there will overcome a lot of writer's block problems. Because a lot of times people have writer's block because they sit down and they have either been away from writing for so long that nothing is flowing, and they're trying to get that creativity going. Whereas if you sit down every day or on a schedule, you know, and I don't think you have to write every day. I'm not one of these people that says you have to write every day. But I do think you have to write consistently on a schedule, and then that will start programming your subconscious mind to let the words flow during that time. So it does help to have a schedule.
Now, you did mention that when we do write daily, it does boost our creativity. Can you say a little bit more about that, that, you know, that regular writing tends to make it easier to write or makes us more creative?
Yeah, I mean, the first chapter in Living Right is called The Power of Daily Writing. And I actually, some people on the call may be familiar with, I did recently a Facebook challenge, a 90 Days of Daily Writing challenge. And what that does, it's along those same lines, you know, that first of all, it is going to ingrain writing as a habit. It's going to ingrain it in your schedule. That, so every day, it's just like brushing your teeth. You brush your teeth every day without thinking about it. And when you start writing every day, even if it's just for a month, what's going to happen at the end of that month? I mean, what would happen all of a sudden if you stopped brushing your teeth? I mean, pretty soon you're going to realize, oh, I'm forgetting to brush my teeth, right? And you're going to realize that every day. You're going to realize that day that you forgot to brush your teeth. It's the same thing with writing. And so it absolutely ingrains it into your schedule, into your subconscious mind, writing, writing, writing. This is my writing time. And then it just builds that bridge to the subconscious creativity that much more quickly. And that's a lot of the feedback that I got from people that did the 90-day challenge, people who actually wrote, and some of them for the first time, every day for 90 days, even if it was just 15 minutes. The feedback I got was that they started writing for longer periods of time. They started turning out more pages than they ever had. And that writing, it wasn't something that got put on the back burner. Writing became very important to them. They made a commitment to it, and they honored that commitment. And so then that just enhances the creativity because you're building that bridge to the subconscious. And the more you work on building that bridge, the stronger it becomes. And then you miss it. If you're away from it, you will miss it. So that is the power of daily writing. And again, I don't think that people, you have to write every single day. I know a lot of successful authors who don't write every day. I personally like to have a couple of days off during the week, so I usually will take, I usually write 5 days out of 7. But like if you read Stephen King's book on writing, he talks about how he writes every day, including his birthday and Christmas and Thanksgiving. And it's just a personal thing. But again, the key is what happens is that people, they say, okay, I'm going to write today, and then they either allow something else to take precedence over it that's not a true emergency, or they just skip it. And then that happens day after day after day, and then finally, after months, they try and sit down to write, and that creativity is completely blocked because there hasn't been that practice in, you know, working with the subconscious mind and the creativity and kind of getting into that. People talk about getting into the zone. That's the mind going into an alpha state and the subconscious mind sort of coming up, and that's the creativity and the muse that takes over.
Wow. So, you know, you talked about Stephen King, and you talked about a few of the authors you've interviewed. Can you share some of the things that you've learned while interviewing these authors?
Yeah. Well, you know, what I have learned is that that there's some common characteristics, and I've interviewed lots and lots of New York Times bestselling authors, and you know, I've interviewed, and what I've learned about them is that they, you know, they're very open to new experiences in terms of, you know, what I was talking about, like with the hypnagogia and having ideas right when you're dropping off that in conscious waking life, they don't seem related, but when you're falling asleep, they do. So these people, they have an attitude of expectation that they are going to get ideas like that. They have a high tolerance for frustration. And, you know, when you're first starting a novel, it can seem very chaotic and complex, and you don't know where it's going. But what I found is that successful writers, they have a lot of patience for that because, again, with that attitude of expectancy, they know they're going to have that eureka moment. They know at some point in time it's going to all come together, and they trust that. They trust their intuition. They expect to receive hunches and, you know, just all kinds of ideas and intuitive thoughts about which direction do I turn. And they're okay with leaving the work for a day and then coming back to it knowing that, okay, tomorrow I'm going to be able to solve this plot problem. And you can, you know, new writers can kind of speed up that process by, again, by directing the subconscious mind to, okay, say, subconscious mind, I have this plot problem. I can't untangle it. Give me the solution. And then just leave the work. And what happens a lot of times is everybody's had this experience where you're in the middle of a problem and you can't figure it out, and then you go do something relaxing and you have that eureka moment. And that's because the mind kind of gets out of the day-to-day conscious state and then goes into that alpha state. So successful writers are just, they are completely comfortable with that process. And then they completely trust their own creative process. You know, that's the thing. Everybody's creative process is going to be different. There's no one right way to write or to write a book or to, you know, schedule writing time. You have to do what works for your life. And successful writers just honor that. You know, they hone in on their own intuition, and they focus on what works for them. And that includes taking feedback, you know, about their own writing. You know, they'll take, if someone gives them feedback about their writing, they're going to take what works and kind of leave the rest. So it's all about trusting that intuition, which is the subconscious mind. I mean, that's where that comes from.
Wow.
So, yeah, there's a lot of common characteristics there.
So, you know, we're talking a lot about the writing process, but there's this whole other side to the writing process, which is that submitting and talking to agents and editors and kind of getting our stuff out there. And I'm wondering how your ideas and your techniques can help those of us who might be shy or not confident about our work.
Yeah, you know, I've had a lot of people mention that to me lately for some reason, that they just don't feel confident in either their abilities, or they write something and then they're just too afraid, or they just lack the confidence to send it out or to pitch it to an editor or an agent at a conference. And you can completely turn that around by working with your subconscious mind. There was a social researcher named Alfred Adler in the 1940s, and he came up with a technique that's called acting as if. And you might have heard a lot of people talk about it, Dr. Phil, Oprah, et cetera. And basically what it is you just pretend to be or do whatever it is that you want to do, and you and by doing that, it imprints that on the subconscious mind, and it changes your feeling. So if you are nervous about going up and pitching your novel or sending your material into an agent for consideration, kind of flip your mind and pretend that you're the kind of person that is not shy, that is very confident to do that. You can stand in front of a mirror and look into your own eyes and use some of your positive declarations. Say, I feel great because I submitted my work to Agent X, or I feel great because I have pitched my material to editor X at this conference. Emotion, feelings are like engine fuel to the subconscious mind. And so if you can sit there and look into your own eyes and make these positive statements about yourself, you're going to feel ridiculous at first, but you have to really feel what it's going to feel like, how great you're going to feel after you have done this, how when you have acted as if you are completely confident, how great, how proud are you going to feel of yourself. Go ahead and feel that. Generate all of that as you're making these affirmations in the mirror. And that's another good way to use the power of the subconscious mind to help you actually carry that out. And all of those techniques are in Living Right and Thinking Right, you know, a lot more detail. You can also make these statements into a tape recorder or a digital recorder and play it while you're falling asleep, and that way it gets directly into the subconscious mind. So there's just all sorts of ways that you can capitalize, and these are easy to use techniques. And you know, you can go into the restroom at work and just real quickly as you're washing your hands, look in your own eyes and say, I feel great because I'm a successful writer. And then really feel how you're going to feel when that indeed happens. Because this is how you, actions are the strongest way to change your thoughts and your feelings. You can act your way into feeling something. So in some self-help groups, they'll say take the action and the insight will follow. And what that means is go ahead and even if you don't feel confident, go ahead and act as if you are confident when you walk into that pitch room. And then pretty soon, if you act as if you are confident enough, you will eventually feel confident. It's just the way the human mind works.
Wow.
It's really fascinating. Yeah.
It is fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, I want to give our participants a chance to ask questions. We do have kind of a quiet group, but I want to open it up to them. And so if they don't ask you questions, don't freak out. It's not you. It's just that they're at their cubicle or whatever, and they don't want their boss to hear them. So whoever is here and would like to ask a question, you can unmute yourself by pushing in *7. So does anyone have a question for Kelly? This is a great opportunity to tap into her expertise and ideas.
Oh, come on. Somebody has to have a question.
Hi, this is Beth in Wisconsin, and I was afraid I would miss this altogether. But I got out of my earlier commitment a little early. Oh, I have time to do this.
I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you. So am I. I was really impressed with the successful author's high tolerance for frustration.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a trick that I'd like to offer. And I would ask you to tell me if you think it makes any sense. One of my methods of dealing with situations that I don't like but I don't know how to change is to say, whatever, and then keep on going with what I can do instead of staying stuck with what I can't at the moment accomplish.
Yeah. Well, that's an excellent point. And what you're doing there is you are basically keeping your thoughts trained on the positive track, and so you're focusing on and you're giving your subconscious mind pictures of what you can do. And that's an excellent way to work with the subconscious mind, Beth. That's an excellent tip.
Thank you, Beth. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you for the question.
Other questions?
You know, go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say that, you know, the other thing about everybody on this phone call is that you are what successful authors are, and that's creative high achievers. And there's a lot of research on characteristics of creative high achievers. And, you know, one of them is that they have very vivid imaginations and that they, like Beth was saying, they don't allow They don't allow negativity to sort of pull them off of their own path. You know, they do. It's like, you know, okay, whatever. I'm not going to let that distract me from my path, from my goals. And this is why another reason, you know, people need to have writing goals. Even if it's just you're going to write one page a week, you need to have some kind of a goal to focus your mind on your overall goal, which is, you know, probably to finish a novel or to get published or whatever. So you've got to break it down, make it real easy for yourself, set yourself up for success, basically. And, you know, don't shoot yourself in the foot by saying, okay, I'm going to take this weekend and write my whole book. I mean, nobody can do that. But if you say, you know, everybody's heard, if you write a page a day, in a year you have a novel. And that's very true. But make it very easy on yourself. Set yourself up for success. Keep your thoughts focused on your goal, on achieving your goal, and don't let negativity pull you off of that track. So that's an excellent point, Beth.
I like that. I like that really kind of, and I think that's really true about high achievers from all different fields, is that they really won't let anything get between them and their goals.
Right. Exactly.
You know, runners.
Exactly.
Other athletes. That's great. Other questions from you all?
I have a question.
Yes,
my name is
okay.
Bonnie, and I'm in Texas.
Hi.
I was wondering, Kelly, would you mind talking a little bit? I'm just actually in the process of reorganizing my office. Would you talk a little bit about how writing space can affect your creativity, and maybe any tips you have for like setting it up in a way that facilitates that?
Wow, that's a great point. Your writing space definitely can affect your writing, and really everybody needs to have their own writing space, even if it's just a little corner of the bedroom that you put masking tape on the floor and tell everybody not to cross. I don't know if any of you ever watched WKRP, but you know how Les had his office duct taped off on the carpet? Yeah, that's what all of you need to do. And you need to use colors that resonate with you. Green is a color that has been shown to be associated with creativity. It puts helps put the mind into an alpha state. A lot of writers that I've talked to said that they will put their desk by a window that overlooks like a tree or a small garden. So just so that you have that color green, hang green curtains, something like that. But if you don't like the color green, definitely have a color that resonates with you. And also put mementos, anything that reminds you of what you're working towards. One writer told me that she got a cup one time at a romance writers convention that said something to the effect of $60 million every year on the cup. And that was, at that time, the amount of sales that romance books had in the market. And so she kept that cup on her desk because it reminded her of her goal, which was, I'm going to have, my book's going to be a part of that $60 million one day.
Mm-hmm.
Other writers have any kind of mementos like that, you know, rocks or books that have inspired you, collages. I'm big on collages, you know, making collages that represent success to you. It can be pictures, it can be words. So what you want to do is surround yourself in your writing space as much as possible with images of success, whatever that is for you. And, you know, I even, before I ever got published, I put in a little picture frame beside my computer because lack of confidence was a big problem for me as well at one time. It still is from time to time. I wrote the words, "You can do it," and I put it in a picture frame right by my computer. I also have a collage that I will break out from time to time when I feel blocked. And for me, the images of water flowing is related to words flowing. So I have just a single collage that all it has on it is pictures of waterfalls and streams and waters running out of, you know, kitchen sink faucets, things like that. So any kind of image of success is what you want to put in your writing space.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Connie.
Thank you for the question. Yeah.
And thank you, Kelly. That was that's an interesting thing for a writer to think about. I've been on Twitter a lot lately looking at people's websites, and I've noticed a lot of writers are putting up mock covers for their books and on their blogs. Not the book that, not a book they're self-publishing, not a book that's even at an agent, but a book they're still writing. And I've done that. I did that with Write-A-Thon before it was even a book. But you know what? It was just kind of an idea. But I thought I might write it during National Novel Writing Month. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to put a book cover up and have that, it's on my vision board, and have that as kind of a little reminder to me.
Yep. A lot of writers do that. They will paint or draw their future book covers. There's a, on my blog, there's a post by Jax Cassidy, who, she's also a visual artist, and she has done that a lot with artist trading cards. She'll do, like, her book covers as an artist trading card. I visualized my, the cover to my novel, I visualized it right down to the, you know, to the last detail for years while I was writing my novel. And when the artist drew it, it was almost exactly like I had imagined all of those years.
Wow.
So imagery to the subconscious mind is very, very powerful. And, you know, the other thing is, too, what you can do, because a lot of times, you know, we have these negative thoughts, and there's no such thing as a little minor negative thought. But what you want to do, like if you think, you know, God, I'll never finish this book or something, what you've got to do is automatically counter that with a positive, and I will finish this book, or I will finish this book by December 31st, or whatever your deadline is. Let's, you know, give yourself a deadline for things, so that you stay on a positive track. Again, all the time, and that's one of the things that having all those images of success in your writing space will help you do, is just stay focused on your success goals.
Wow, that's great.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Rochelle. This is Ruth Ann.
Yes.
have a comment to make, and then I have a question connected to that. I think it's great to put up images of a potential book cover or things you might want to do if once you've been successful and so forth. But another thing I do to help me write chapters and put my book together that I'm working on now, and I would do it in the future, I make a board, or I just keep pieces of paper together of ideas for and images of a group getting together. I just sketch them out, or if I find a picture of a building in a magazine, I put that there and then I alter it. I needed the idea for a camp one time, a camp building, a big structure. It's very important in my book. So I found one when we traveled west, and I save that. And sometimes I take pictures of people. If there's a blonde woman, I darken her hair, and I change the shape of her legs maybe, or her clothes or something, and then I tack that picture up or whatever. But that's very helpful to me in writing and completing my chapter.
I've heard of people doing that, plotting out, like, places, having pictures of their characters or their, places in their novel. That's a good idea.
So my question is, in interviewing all of these famous authors, have you come across that a lot? Do you hear other authors who are doing that type of thing?
Yes, I have heard. I've interviewed a couple of authors who have said, or more than a couple, several who have said that they will go through magazines and pick out images of characters, especially if they're having difficulty describing a character. They will find a picture of a woman or a man or whatever and put that up on their wall, or as you're doing, on a board. You can do that for all your characters and your plot points and the town or wherever your book is located. Anything like that is a visual cue to your subconscious mind. And not only does it help to, in the writing, but it's, again, it's solidifying that image of, I'm writing a book, this is what this book is about, and it helps you stay focused on that goal. And so that is, that's your board of success, if you will, for that book. So, that is a fantastic idea, and I have heard of others doing that.
Thank you.
Thank
that's
you.
Great.
Thanks for the question.
Thank you. Other questions?
These have been some great comments and questions.
These have been wonderful and really hit on parts of the writing process that we didn't think to talk about. So it's been really great to get some ideas about organizing our space and getting visual images up to help us kind of trigger that writing and to trigger our memory about our goals. That's wonderful.
That's right.
So I'm going to close my eyes and point to the board and find an area code. I'm going to tell you which person won the book. It looks like it's area code 979. And so if you're calling from area code 979, Kelly, I don't think that's you. I don't think you won your own book. Email me, Rochelle, R-O-C-H-E-L-L-E, at rightnowcoach.com, W-R-I-T-E-N-O-W, coach.com, with your snail mail address, and I'll get that out in the mail to you soon. So we're getting towards the end of our time. But let me ask one more time, just in case there's a shy person hanging back. Does anybody else have a question for Kelly?
I have another question.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
This is Bonnie in Texas. Again,
hey, Bonnie in Texas.
I was wondering, one of the things that I struggled with a long time was, you know, that advice, like just write for 15 minutes here and write for 15 minutes there. I had a really hard time because I would sit down and I wouldn't be able to think of anything and then my 15 minutes would be up. I tried this actually for a couple of years, trying to do it and failing at it. And so I was talking to one of my writing friends and she said, well, you're a plotter, not a pantser. Maybe the problem is that you don't have enough planning. You're not doing enough planning before you
sit
down. And so I started sitting down, and every time I was going to work on a scene, I would, like, write down all the major things that had to happen in the scene. And then for my 15 minutes, I would just write the part where the heroine got mad at the hero, or I would just write the part where they found the secret passageway, and I wouldn't write anything else. And that's when the 15-minute thing started working for me. And I was wondering, could you talk a little bit about how planning might enhance your creativity?
Well, I think it's just what you're saying, Bonnie. I mean, some people can't just sit down and just go and write. I'm not a pantser either. I'm more of a plotter. So I've got to know what am I going to be working on when I sit down. And so that's when, you found the signal from your subconscious mind. You found the trick to accessing your creativity, and everybody can do that. So Ernest Hemingway used to stop writing mid-sentence so he'd have a place to pick up the next day so that he could avoid that problem. I don't know if he was a plotter or a pantser, but I know that he would stop writing mid-sentence. So if that's what you need to do, then you can, the night before, plan what you're going to write or what scene you're going to work on the next day, and then ask your subconscious mind, direct your subconscious mind, say, subconscious mind, make that scene available to me tomorrow at 1:15 when I sit down to write for 15 minutes. Direct your subconscious mind to help you with that, and then it will click it in. So that's another way that you can program your subconscious mind to help you and aid your creativity. Direct it. Tell it where you're going to be, what time, and what you want it to help you do. And so that is an excellent point. You've got to figure out, you know, some people can sit down and just go, and some people need to plan it out. But either one of those, I mean, if you're a pantser, you can tell your subconscious mind, I'm going to get up in the morning and write for 30 minutes, make it available, whatever it is, to write. And so either of those ways can be enhanced by directing your subconscious mind to be there and assist you with that. That's a great point.
Wow. Thank you. Kelly, we have time for a final tip. Do you have a final tip that you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Well, let's see. We've covered so many great things already. One of the things that I want to tell you about, and we kind of touched on it, about not letting the negativity kind of pull you off track. I call it the beware your anti-writer. Dun, dun, dun. And I talk about this in Thinking Right, and this is basically, I call it the anti-writer. This is anything that blocks you from writing. And so there's some information on that in Thinking Right, but what you can do is those briefly, it's those little negative things that stop you. So you need to train yourself to catch those immediately and replace it with a positive. And if you start paying attention to that, you'll notice a trend. Lack of confidence or not feeling like you have time or not feeling like writing when you do have time. You'll notice trends, and then you can create positive declarations to counteract that. And I'd also like everybody to visit my website. It's authorkellyelstone.com. I have a newsletter. I frequently offer online classes on these topics. And so if you'd like to be on my mailing list, just email me. And I also offer critiques if you're interested in that. So
that's great.
And I really enjoy being here.
Thank you, Kelly. I appreciate it. And I wanted to let you all know that if you want to get to Kelly's website, a great way to do it is to go to my website, rightnowcoach.com, go to the Mastermind page, and there's a link directly there both to her website and to her books. So it's an easy way to get connected to Kelly, so you don't have to remember things. And say that website one more time, just in case you're writing things down, or for the people who are listening, and maybe your website will be down by the time this gets posted. So what's your website again?
It's www.authorkelly, K-E-L-L-Y, L as in Larry, Stone, S-T-O-N-E, .com, authorkellyelstone.com.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next month, for the group that's here, next month Right Now Mastermind class will be the fourth Wednesday in September, and I'll be talking a little bit about social media. On the fourth Wednesday in October, I'll be introducing my book, Write-A-Thon, and I'll be talking a little bit about why doing a write-a-thon can be a really good idea to jumpstart your writing. So, again, Kelly, thank you for being with
us.
Thank
you. I've enjoyed it. Thank you, everybody, for the questions.
And Kelly's book, again, is newest book is Living Right, The Secret to Bringing Your Craft into Your Daily Life. So now, everybody, go home, lay on your couch, put your arm up and give yourself conscious a suggestion. I love this. I'm actually going to try this afternoon.
It works. I'm telling you, it works. It works.
I love it. I've never heard of it before, so I'm just tickled. So this is great. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, group.
Thank
Have
you.
Have a great writing day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.